Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday to you all. Trouble with the Snap Podcast Live. We won't cover too much of the football games this weekend because that was a complete letdown by the Wolverines. Again, 56-27. Wolverines get beat down again by their rivals from Ohio. And really, is there much else to talk about? Not much. The Buckeyes have dominated that rivalry, 8 straight victories. They own that rivalry. It shouldn't be called the game anymore. It's just a game. It's not the game. Michigan can't seem to figure it out in that battle against Ohio State. And to the credit of Ohio State, look, a lot of teams have had a hard time with them. But it's unacceptable to Michigan fans. It's unacceptable for a lot of people that cover sports. You just don't lose to your rivals that many times. I think 15 out of 16 years now, 8 straight, and Ohio State was dominant. Michigan State on senior day at home in East Lansing in front of a raucous 50,000 plus. They beat Maryland 19-16. Look, there's just not a whole lot to get excited about in the state of Michigan at football right now. I mean, we'll find out what bowl game both schools attend. I'm just going to be very honest with you guys here. I think that when we get to this point every year in the fall, and you know, we look at where Michigan's going to play probably the Holiday Bowl, which, hey, they'll have a probably a decent opponent. They'll play Washington or USC most likely. Auburn is another team that keeps being brought up. At this point, there's just not a lot to get excited about. You're expected to win that division. You're expected to get to Indy. Michigan has not done that. But there will be a bowl game, and there's a lot of opportunity for young players to get reps. There's a whole month of practice and development. So there is positive there, sure. For Michigan State, I would say it's the same thing. You look at freshmen like Trey Mosley who are now being raved about. You look at the type of young players who have already played a lot at Michigan State on the offensive line, skilled positions, whatever it is. This is a good month for them. It's a good month to develop, prepare for next season right now, and really get after it. Recruiting, just a whole lot of things that need to get better for Michigan State for them to be competitive again. I know there's a lot of things being said about that program. They want to be competitive again. There's just a lot of things they need to do. I mean, they really have to take advantage of this month of preparation, and they're going to have to start recruiting much better. I mean, it's just obvious. Those are facts. At this point, when you're not recruiting at a high enough level, when you're 10th in the Big Ten in recruiting, it's just not going to cut it. You're not going to win games at the highest level when you're recruiting at that level. They have to find a way to do a better job on that end. And Michigan, to get over the top, has to do the same thing as well. Tyler and I had mentioned this. If you're going to compete against Ohio State, boy, you really better get after it in recruiting. You have to get certain kids because every year, year in, year out, Ohio State has young players that step up and play outstanding. Wilson this year, Chris Olave last year as a freshman, makes big plays in the biggest game of the year. And, you know, Justin Fields, first-year starter, gets banged up, comes out, throws for over 300 yards, plays outstanding. I mean, it's gotten to the point where, look, guys, these guys that are playing for Ohio State, these big-name guys, are playing outstanding. You're going to have to find that from your team. I will give credit to Michigan on offense. I thought Shea Patterson played great again. I thought some of their young players, Giles Jackson, Sanders Still, you know, Ronnie Bell looked good again. Donovan Peoples-Jones, a junior, played really well. But those defensive backs really, really tightened up in the second half. I thought Jeffrey Okuda was just locked down on Nico Collins. And Nico Collins is the guy that they're talking NFL. Okuda was just blanketing that guy all game. Just a lot of talent on Ohio State. And for Michigan and Michigan State, if you want to compete at that level, boy, you better recruit at a ridiculous level. But we're going to talk mainly basketball today. I want to open up a football look. You know, there was some bright spots, of course. There was some very good moments for Michigan this year. Michigan State had a very tough season. There's a lot that can happen the next month, and we look forward to next year for the football season. Basketball, hey, we got a lot to cover today. I mean, this is going to be fun. ACC Big Ten Challenge tomorrow. Michigan State Duke 9:30. That's followed by Michigan Louisville. I mean, those are just two big-time games. And, you know, you look at the ESPN power rankings, they got Michigan at 2. I think that's really high considering they were unranked. But when you beat North Carolina and Gonzaga back-to-back, you deserve the praise. I mean, you deserve a little bit of hype. You deserve to be looked at differently. And they played very well. This wasn't a situation where North Carolina just played terrible or Gonzaga just played terrible. Michigan played very well. They looked like a very good basketball team. They looked like a basketball team that could be extremely dangerous in the tournament. And I think we all kind of wondered what it would look like early with Juwan Howard. Right now, they look very good. I think it's you got to look at some of the games they've had prior, though, and say there was some struggle there. You know, Appalachian State, they give up a 32-6 run in that second half. You can't not forget that. They've had moments where they haven't played very well on defense. I think they've changed some things defensively. They realize they have good interior defense. They're going to affect shots. They're going to block shots with Teske. Now with Wagner, Livers is long, has good size at 6'7". And then on offense, they are ball screening the heck out of everybody. And Xavier Simpson is a great leader for general. I still think he needs to be a threat from outside, but right now this team is rolling. And Teske's played great. Livers has really improved, guys. I mean, Isaiah Livers, Mr. Basketball in this state of Michigan, 2017. And he's played great. I mean, he really has. He's hitting shots from outside. He's getting to the paint. He's defending well. And I think Eli Brooks has done a very good job as well. I mean, we mentioned this, me and Tyler, the last time we were on the show. Eli Brooks has really stepped into that Jordan Poole role and played well. I mean, he shot the ball extremely well. He's defended pretty well. I thought Jordan Poole at stretches last year at the beginning of the year really defended well. Eli Brooks is kind of taking on that role. You look at Castleton off the bench, another guy with great size, nearing 7 foot. He affects shots inside. Michigan rebounds the ball much better, I feel like, now. I think they're just a more physical basketball team, but they're certainly going to be tested against Louisville. But Michigan State and Duke, I mean, hey, I guess you could say this is two rematch tournament games. You know, you look at quite a few years ago, Louisville, Michigan, NCAA championship game 2013. Hey, I guess this is a rematch of that. It gets exciting when you put that spin to it. And then you look at Michigan State and Duke, a rematch from last year's Elite Eight contest where Michigan State, of course, was successful and won. That's going to be an interesting game. I think Michigan State, you know, a lot of people are saying a lot of different things. There has been some struggles, but when you have someone like Cassius Winston leading your team, you have a lot of guys that have been around the program like Xavier Tillman, Aaron Henry with a year under his belt. I think he's going to be vital tomorrow in that game. He's got to play very well. And a young Rocket Watts really has to shoot the ball better. He has to step up and make plays. Obviously, Duke, their point guard position, Trey Jones, has played really well this year. I mean, he's a guy that probably got left in the cold last year. When you have Zion and you have Cam Reddish and you have Barrett, you know, Trey Jones is going to get left out of a discussion at the pro level. Now he is one of the point guards that everyone's talking about. I think he's going to be key. That matchup with him and Cassius Winston is going to be great. And then, of course, Vernon Carey, the young freshman that Michigan State was really going after. He's going to have to battle against guys like Xavier Tillman, Bingham inside, and Keithier inside. There's going to be some size there that Michigan State can provide to battle Vernon Carey. But that will be an interesting storyline. Vernon Carey obviously was a big-name guy that Michigan State was really after, and that will be interesting to see what he does inside with the likes of Tillman and the other big Sparty has. Tyler's with me. Tyler, obviously you missed all the good stuff. We talked football. We're not talking anymore about it. We're jumping right into this ACC Big Ten Challenge. Covered Michigan and Michigan State a little bit. Let's talk Sparty and Duke. I mean, this is a rematch. This is a rematch game. It's a game that, you know, that was an exciting game that we've seen last year, one of the best games we've watched in a long time. But it is a rematch. I think Duke's going to come out and play well. Let's prep for this game, though. I mean, a couple keys you think for Michigan State to win tomorrow.
Well, I mean, first things first, this isn't exactly a rematch when you look at who the leaders of that Duke team was last year. You know, Zion and RJ and Cam Reddish, and those guys are gone. Obviously, you have DeLaurier and Trey Jones. But I think the biggest thing that Michigan State needs to do is they ultimately need to stop Carey. I mean, that's kind of the methodology of basketball, you know. You go inside, you go inside, you open up a little bit of the outside game. It's no different than football. You run the ball, you run the ball, you run the ball, and then try to set up passing. And so I think the big thing you need to do is you need to stop Carey first. Then after that, you know, can Michigan State stop to threes. They've been killed by a barrage of three-pointers this year. I think a lot of people are really underestimating what the loss of Matt McQuaid really meant to this Michigan State team as far as the perimeter defender, just that lockdown guy. Aaron Henry was supposed to be that guy this year, and all of a sudden it feels like he's regressed a little bit defensively. Kind of like what Keith Appling brought to the table for Michigan State. When he, as a freshman, you know, he looked like he was going to be that next lockdown defender type. And then, you know, as he's asked to do a little bit more of the scoring, which Aaron Henry is obviously being asked to do, is he's going to be the second or third option on this Michigan State team. If he's asked to do a little bit more of the scoring, you start to see their defense regress a little bit. Not to say he's not a quality defender still, but he doesn't seem to be carrying the same intensity defensively that we saw from him at the latter portion of last season, when it looked like, you know, you had Matt McQuaid on one wing and Aaron Henry on the other. Like, you weren't going to get a lot of shots up. And we're starting to see Henry regress a little bit. And you throw in the fact you have Watts, who's a solid defender, but he's still short for a two guard. And you have Winston, who, you know, not a great on-the-ball defender, obviously much improved over the last two seasons, but you don't have a lot of perimeter defenders. I honestly believe that Gabe Brown has been the best perimeter defender for this Michigan State team. And when he's riding the bench, it makes it a little bit harder to, you know, get someone to lock in on the best perimeter scorer for the other team. So I think that's the big thing that Michigan State needs to do, is they need to really find their identity. I think this Duke game comes in between, you know, that Maui tournament, and, you know, you already played Kentucky, you already played Seton Hall. This is that one last game that you really have to make an impact prior to conference play. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a different rotation for Tom Izzo, and I think it's going to be to help, you know, lock down the perimeter for Duke.
Yeah, I think the perimeter in Duke is going to be a little easier to defend. You know, Cassius Stanley is obviously out with injury. He won't be back until after Christmas. This is a guy that was averaging 14-5, high flyer. I mean, Cassius Stanley was vital to this attack. He has a hamstring injury. Good news for him. Yeah, good news for Duke. You know, it wasn't something with the knee. There was some speculation there. But him being out until after Christmas, Joey Baker, who has stepped in and played well, he had a career high the other day with 16 points, 4-5 from the perimeter. But I think that, boy, it's a lot easier to defend them without Stanley. I mean, now you're talking, you know, they're not as athletic on the wing. And then you are probably right, where it's going to come down to how well do they defend Vernon Carey inside. I mean, as good as Trey, you know, Jones has played, I think that this isn't a game where he can take over. I mean, he's going to have a hard time scoring and taking over this basketball game. So it's going to come down with the interior defense of Michigan State. Can they stay out of foul trouble? Can they contain Vernon Carey? If he has a big night, then it could be a problem. But I think that Cassius Stanley injury is huge. It's huge for Duke in a negative. I think this will really give them a hard time to go on the road to the Breslin Center and win. I mean, I really think that that's the kicker. If Stanley plays, I think we're having a prediction would be, I still think Duke has a really good shot. But with him being out, man, that's crucial. And I think also for defensive purposes, you know, now you're going to have guys like Henry.
Without Langford, you know, we'll just call it even. How's that?
Yeah, no, I think that you could, of course, say that. You know, I think Langford, I think the jury's out on Langford. I hate to say it. I know Spartan fans won't like it. You know, he was playing outstanding last year, but he just hasn't played a lot of basketball for a while now. And you worry that when he comes back, how quickly is he going to be a scoring threat like he was? I think you're going to see a few months of him trying to get back, and then hopefully by March, you know, he's playing really, really well. He's that key component that you were missing. Right now, you know, the jury's going to be out. I don't see him coming in and just taking over games in January.
No, I don't expect him to take over games, but, you know, Rocket Watts is a shooter as of right now. I mean, he can get shots, he can make shots, but he's not shooting the ball well, so teams really don't have to respect him. Aaron Henry, not necessarily a shooter. He can knock him down, though, as well. Gabe Brown and Kyle Arntz are really the only shooters that Michigan State has, and Arntz is playing a little bit less and less as the season progresses. So do I think Langford needs to come and take over games? No, but he's going to be a shooter that you have to respect still. I don't expect him to be the slasher and, you know, the pump fake at the three-point line or on the wing and just, you know, drive to the basket the way that he used to be able to. But I think that he's going to still be a shooter that you have to respect, and I think that's going to open up a ton of things for Winston and Tillman in the pick-and-roll game.
Oh, yeah. Look, you add Langford, it changes your team. I mean, there's no question about that. They're going to be, you know, harder to beat with a guy that can score the ball at that rate. There's just no question about that. You know, I want to bounce off that and then head into Louisville, Michigan. Something that a lot of people aren't talking about, and it's something I probably didn't even really pay enough attention to. When you watch Louisville play, they really haven't played anyone that great. I mean, you look at Miami, the first game on the road was a really big win. You know, they won by 13. You look at their schedule besides that. You know, their toughest opponent since then was probably Akron, and that was a close game. You know, Akron and them battled down to the end. You know, Louisville comes on top 82-76. And you never want to look at scores, and I think if we did that, then we would say Michigan's not very good because they have struggles with Appalachian State. So I think what happens is teams start getting rolling. But when I look at that schedule, I got to say to myself, Louisville hasn't really played anybody yet. And I think that could maybe cause some concern for them. And I think that's where Michigan State and Michigan, they have a little advantage right now. You know, you play against Duke and your Sparty, you've seen good competition already, you know, from day one. You know, Michigan just got out playing against Gonzaga in North Carolina. But talk about that, Tyler, in this Michigan-Louisville game. Do you think that could be an advantage for Michigan, seeing the competition they have and Louisville not seeing it yet?
Yeah, Michigan obviously knows, you know, how to win those big games, those games that come with a lot of emotion and that come with a lot of intensity. And so I think that that's a big deal. Louisville is a little bit of a veteran squad, so I think they'll be fine in that aspect. And they did see what – look, let's be real. Every coach kind of hides stuff until you get to the big boys. You know, Tom Izzo hides stuff. And, I mean, obviously, Tom Izzo couldn't really hide much because he opened with Kentucky. But, you know, Juwan Howard kind of hides stuff until they got to North Carolina and Gonzaga. Well, Louisville's seen all that. We haven't necessarily seen what Louisville does. Not to say that it's going to make a world of difference and they're going to come out and throttle Michigan. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. In fact, I like Michigan in this matchup. But I just think that, you know, there are some things that Michigan hasn't seen. And it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, you hate to keep going back to it because it sounds like I'm dogging him. But look, this is a first-time college basketball coach, and you really want to see, you know, what he does and how he adjusts. And he hasn't seen everything that Louisville's going to throw at him. And so how does he adjust to some of those things? It's going to be an exciting game. Both teams are going to throw every type of defense they can at each other. And, I mean, that's exciting for, you know, guys like me who love the defensive side of basketball. But how Juwan Howard adjusts is going to be I'm not going to say an issue, but it's going to be something to keep an eye out for because, like I said, he is a first-time coach, and I'm sure he has some tricks up his sleeve as well still that he may have reserved. But I think that ultimately it kind of evens out in regards that, you know, Louisville's seen everything that Michigan's going to run for the most part. And they haven't, and Michigan hasn't really seen what Louisville has done. At the same time, Michigan's handled that intensity. You know, can Louisville come out with a similar fire? Because they obviously just got the number one ranking. What they feel like, you know, Michigan hasn't really done much prior to last week. And was it just a week where they were hot? And they might be coming out with their chest up, you know, and everyone has planned to get hit in the face. And Louisville's going to get hit in the face for the first time against Michigan, and we'll see how they respond, too.
Yeah, I think the key for this one is Louisville's front line's outstanding. I mean, these are guys that have been around, you know, they're seniors or juniors. They're rebounding the ball. I mean, when you look at three players on this team and you look at absolutely fantastic. I hope I said the last name correctly, but, you know, he's averaging 22-7 pretty much. He's outstanding player. And Dwayne Sutton, the senior, you know, averaging 11-8. And then Steven, you know, 11-8. So there's a lot of rebounding there. There's a lot of size there. There's a lot of physicality there that Michigan has just not seen. They have not seen a physical basketball team the way Louisville is. I mean, they get after you. They rebound the ball very well. They're outstanding inside. I never thought I would say this. I think the advantage for Michigan would maybe be guard play. You know, if they're shooting the ball well outside and they can somewhat contain Louisville inside, you know, they have a very good chance to win. But this is a very, very physical basketball team that is Louisville. If you've watched them at all this year, they get the ball inside. They lob it up there and guys go and get it. They're just good. And they're a veteran team. These guys have been around for a while. But I think as much as Xavier Simpson is one of the hardest guys for me to understand, and probably because he just doesn't take open shots from outside, he's a floor leader. And you know, a guy I played pro ball with said it the other day. He said he's the best floor leader in the college basketball. I said, you're out of your mind, because I know Cassius Smithson really is. But I think that he has a good point, though. He's a good floor leader. He controls the game. And that was one of the things he said, is he controls the game as good or better than anyone. And I would agree to that to an extent. I mean, he has a very good control over the game. But here's my problem. You just got to hit shots. And I think he's still a little bit of the missing piece. I think you got to be able to come off that screen and be a more effective shooter from outside. I think that changes everything for this Michigan offense. And he did take a couple of shots from outside and hit him. And I'm just kind of wondering, why aren't those shots being taken, one? And two, is it just a confidence thing, or is it just his game? Like, hey, I'm not going to settle for a three. I'm going to try to get the ball in the paint. I'm going to try to take that hook shot that we all love. And if I miss, you know, I got guys like Teske that can rebound. But talk about that. I mean, when you look at Michigan, do you kind of think that as good as they look right now, there's still some things missing, or, hey, they really are this good? I mean, they have enough to make some significant noise in this thing.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said about Simpson. And I think that that was one of the points that I think even you and I talked about this offseason is, look, Simpson's not the best point guard, and I don't agree that he's the best floor general either. You know, that's obviously Cassius Winston in regards to how he runs the offense. But look, Simpson, before the season even started, you know, I think I told you that, you know, I think he's number two on that list. I don't think he's the second best point guard in the country, but I think he's the second best manager of the game. And I think that the way he does things is he needs to be open to get his shot. And I think that that's his big thing, is shooting off the dribble is a little bit of an issue for him from the perimeter. Obviously he'll drive inside and he'll pop up, and, you know, obviously he's got that hook shot, but he has a hard time shooting off the dribble. So when he comes off these screens and he does get half a second to look, like, he's not one of those types of guys. He almost appears to be like a spot-up shooter in some aspects, to where he doesn't want to dribble to get a shot. He doesn't want to, like, come directly off the screen to get it. He wants to just sit there. He wants to find his open space. And that's the only spot that's the only time he's willing to shoot from the perimeter. And it's a little bit of a detriment because, like I said, he is such a great floor general. And if he added that confidence to where he can shoot that shot and he can do it consistently, and I think that that's another thing, is he's not known for doing this. He's not had the greatest shooting percentages. He's not a great shooter, if we're being completely honest. But when he's open and he gets a look, he's a pretty solid shot. And
yeah, he actually shoots the ball a really good percentage.
That's the thing. He just needed to develop it a little bit more in order to get to where he needs to be. And I think that that's one of the more disappointing things about his career, if we're being honest, is I feel like he could have taken this to the next level where, you know, obviously the first 2 years, the two played against each other, you know, Simpson just dominated Cassius Winston. But I feel like that it could be the best point guard matchup that we've seen in a very, very long time in all of college basketball. If he develops a shot, and since he doesn't have that shot right now, I think, you know, it's still Cassius Winston by a mile. And it's just kind of disappointing to see that.
No, I would definitely not say it's by a mile. I mean, I think people need to realize Xavier Simpson is just a different point guard than Winston. Winston is a playmaker, and Simpson is a game manager. I mean, he just really is. When you look at his numbers are absolutely outstanding. I mean, Simpson is averaging close to 13 a game. He's averaging 9.5 assists. I mean, those are great numbers for a point guard. I think we just kind of know how he plays, and we also understand that to be a great, great point guard, there's just things you have to do scoring the basketball from outside, off the dribble, creative ways. I mean, this isn't Cole Anthony we're talking about, who can get a shot off whenever he wants. He can make a play whenever he wants. Whereas Cassius Winston is not at the scoring level, but can probably make a play whenever he wants off the ball screen action. Simpson and him are the best off the ball screen in college basketball. There's no question about that. There's no one even close right now that run off that ball screen better than those two. And Michigan's ball screening the heck out of everybody. They feel very confident in Xavier Simpson making plays out of it. He's just a different guard, Tyler. You know, he doesn't look like he's doing much, but you look at his numbers and they're outstanding. He controls the game. He doesn't shoot the ball bad. He doesn't shoot a lot. He doesn't take a lot of shots. He definitely doesn't take difficult shots ever. And if you look at the history of him, he's played like this, I guess, his whole career. He's played like this in high school. You know, friends of mine that are from the Toledo area said they watched him. This is how he plays. And he gets to the paint. He wants to finish inside. He's not an outside threat. He's always played this way. So I guess that's what you get. I do think the next step for Michigan is him to take more shots from outside and hit them. I really believe that that has to be the next step. I think it was a problem last year. I think people boxed it in. They didn't allow him to get to the paint. He's got to be able to hit shots. This will be an interesting game because I do think Louisville will defend it that way. I think they will close off the lane, and then Michigan's going to, again, I said it earlier, Tyler, they got to shoot the ball well from outside to win this game. They've been shooting very, very well. You know, as much as this is a different program, the three-point shot is still vital for this team. I mean, I went with Isaiah Livers shooting, Eli Brooks, John Teske in pick-and-pop situations. This is a team that has to shoot well, and that can be scary. That can be very scary, but I'm excited about the game. I think this is a huge test for both schools, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot to cover on Michigan and Louisville after the game. Let's go back and circle around back to Michigan State. I mean, look, a lot of people have a lot to say. We mentioned them a lot, Tyler. I think when you have high expectations, anything that goes wrong makes people act ridiculous. This is a very good basketball team, but I do think this is a game that could really get Michigan State back on track. Do you think that this game is that important, or is it just, hey, it's just another game, we want to beat Duke, but, you know, if we don't, let's not overreact. I think they have to win this basketball game. This is a confidence builder that they need.
I agree and disagree. Look, obviously they want to win this game. It's, you know, a monster game. I don't think they need to win it, though, to get back to what they need to do. You look at what they did in Maui. They were a little soft, if we're being brutally honest. They were kind of weak on the board. You know, they didn't handle the interior all that well. Xavier Tillman looked a little soft, which is surprising because I did go back and I watched the Duke game from last year when he's bodying up Zion Williamson and he's trying to post up Delarie, and he looked like a completely different player, and you almost expect, you know, from what I saw in the Maui invite to what I saw from Duke game last year, you would have felt like the order of those would have been inverted based upon how seasoned he was. Like, the Duke game looked like he was a junior or senior player, and the Maui invite kind of looked like he was a sophomore trying to find his way. Obviously, he's still a very talented player, but Michigan State doesn't need to win to get back to the, you know, the way that they were at the beginning of the season, how physical they were, you know, just battling these 7-foot behemoths that Seton Hall left and right, and but they need to at least exhibit the toughness that Michigan State is known for playing with and that Michigan State played with a little bit this season and that, you know, the same guys played with last season that are not playing with it this year. And so if they exhibit that, I think they'll be fine. Again, it doesn't have to be a win, but it definitely can't be, you know, Coach K blowout of Tom Izzo again. And I that obviously starts with the toughness though, and how this team looks is a lot more important than whether they win or lose. Because if they look as tough as they did early on and as they did last year, I mean, they're still the best team in the country in that aspect. I think they're still the best team in the country when that happens. But they didn't do that last week, and I think that's why you saw a disappointing Maui where they lost to Virginia Tech. They were kicking the crap out of Georgia. But then you have that, you know, that one future NBA star just completely go off in his way. And then, you know, UCLA, you looked fatigued. You looked tired of it. You looked like you expected to play Kansas that day. And so you need to get back to what they were doing at the beginning of the season, what they did against Seton Hall. They need to do what they did at the end of last season. It's the same freaking roster for the most part, with the exception of Jones and McQuaid, who obviously add a ton in regards to toughness. But Malik Hall can provide that toughness. You know, Bingham provides that physical shot blocking on the inside. Rocket Watts likes to get in those jerseys a little bit too much at times. Or, sorry, Mark Jr. likes to get in jerseys a little bit too much at times. So,
Let me go back to the point I mentioned how how I think they need to win. And I think I don't believe in this, but I think this is the narrative that is put out there by mainstream media. And I think in basketball, the good thing is the people that talk about it on ESPN and certain people, they are very connected to bracketology and all this craziness. I think no matter what you're seated, if you're playing good basketball, you can win. That's my opinion. That's my belief. And I think those are facts. You could be a 4 seed. You can go all the way and win it all. We've seen teams not play well during the course of the season and start clicking and not get that seed that they would hope for and still do well. There's also the other side of it where you lose a couple of games to ranked opponents, and then they have the what's your best win, what's your quality win. This is a big game for Michigan State because they play 2 ranked opponents. They won one of them. You know, and we don't know how good Seton Hall is going to be. I think Seton Hall is a very talented basketball team. We don't know how good they will be. I think we'll be talking about them all year, though. Kentucky, you know, that's their first game. Kentucky played outstanding. They were ranked number one at one point this season. Not a bad loss, but it could have been a big win. So this is a big win if Michigan beats Duke or Michigan State beats Duke. You got to have that. And they keep talking about seeding, and every game kind of matters with seeding. It's true. You know, you lose to Duke, you're at 3 losses, you don't play a ranked opponent probably until you play Michigan in 2020. Yep. This is the type of game where, hey, this is a confidence builder. We beat a top 10 team. We go into the new year probably with only 3 losses. I can't see anyone on that schedule beating Michigan State. I mean, I think you could argue that. I mean, really, you can't argue anything. There's not a team on that schedule, that
Thomas
should
Kelly
beat
knows
Michigan
the
State.
At Western.
Thomas Kelly, no Broncos. But let's be honest, this is the one game where they could lose. In every other game they're playing in the rest of 2019, I mean, Oakland, Northwestern, Rutgers, Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, come on. Those are wins. Michigan State's just too good. And then, hey, you start off the new year with Illinois and Michigan back-to-back. Those are tough Big Ten games. You got to leave with some confidence. You got to get ready to get Langford back. This is a big game for Michigan State. That's my opinion on it. It doesn't make or break the season. It just matters to seeding. I'm blown away by these early season games, how much they matter now, Tyler. I never thought that they meant so much, you're starting to realize how much they mean.
In regards to seeding, you know, Michigan State's going to get a billion opportunities to prove themselves. You know, they'll get Maryland. They'll get Michigan twice. They'll end up with Ohio State. Wisconsin's always a top 25 team eventually. Penn State,
yeah,
really underrated squad. We talked about how good Illinois could be at the beginning of the year. So, you know, they'll get plenty of opportunities. They can go out there if they lose tonight, or if they lose tomorrow night, and it's a close game, but they exhibit that toughness, and they can carry that into those games against Illinois and Michigan. And, you know, we'll break down what Illinois kind of brings to the table a little bit, you know, in about a month. But
sure,
you can just exhibit that toughness, but then you go out, you win the Big Ten. And if you win the Big Ten tournament, you know, you're walking away with the number one seed. It doesn't really matter at that point.
Yeah.
But no, this game doesn't mean jack squat in regards to seeding, unless it's one of those situations where Duke or Michigan State could be the last number one seed, and then the other one would be the first number two seed, or vice versa. Like, that's the only situation in which this matters. Otherwise, it's not that big of a deal. The fact that it's at the Breslin Center just makes it a little bit more of a must-win, I guess, if you really want to look into seeding. But if Michigan State wins the Big Ten and they win the Big Ten tournament, they'll be a number one seed, even if they lose by 15 tonight.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I just think it's tougher. I guess my point is, you lose to Duke, you have three losses, and then you do have those tough games coming. And here's the thing, you don't get rewarded for tough losses in college basketball. You know, they might look at it, like they do say, hey, key losses, but those key losses are bad losses. So Virginia Tech, you already have that one, because I don't think Virginia Tech's going to do much in the ACC. You have a bad loss, it was on neutral court, it was against Virginia Tech. Does it matter in the grand scheme of what Michigan State will do in the NCAA tournament? I don't think it does. But I do think that seeding matters. And I think that we've seen it, where Thomas was not thrilled about a seed he got a few years ago. And you sometimes run into an opponent where if you were seeded differently, you have maybe more of an advantage. There's a lot that's going to happen. We don't know what is going to take place this season. We don't know if Michigan's really that for real. We don't even know if Ohio State's really that good. I think they are. I think Maryland's really good. I think Maryland is for real. I think you'll have those opportunities, like you just said, Tyler, where you play Maryland, you play a ranked Ohio State, you play probably a ranked Michigan, and you have some really good opponents there. And if you win X amount of those games and win the Big Ten and win the tournament, like you said, sure, number one seed, no doubt. The more games you lose, the more bad losses you have, it's tougher to get that high seed. And so I think it's a big game. I do agree with you. It's not the, you know, end all. That's what people are crazy. People don't know basketball the way we do. This isn't the end all. It's an important game. In football, it could be the end all. You know, you lose. You know, if you're in Michigan and you go to Madison and you get blown out, that could be the end all of your season. Because now you know the other teams you got to play against, and you're probably not going to win against Ohio State. In basketball, you can get away with losing to Virginia Tech and still running the table in the Big Ten, winning the conference, winning the tournament, have five losses, and still be the number one seed in the tournament. It's just historically that's how it works. But you know how it is with media. You know how it is with all this crazy talk about every single thing being dissected. This is an important game, but I definitely agree with Tyler on this. It's not the most important thing. But I think it would be big, though. I think if Michigan State wins, I think it would matter a lot. I think it would really give them a positive look to the rest of this year. And I'm going to give my prediction out of both games. I do think Michigan State wins, and I think they win not convincingly, but I can see a 7 to 9 point win. You know, hit free throws at the end. I just think with Cassius Stanley being out, I really don't think Duke can match up fully with Michigan State on the road. I think Louisville's too tough inside. I think that they will win the rebounding margin by a lot more than people would like. I think they're just too physical. They will be at home. And I do think that Louisville will win this game by 10. I think they just have too much, you know, too many horses inside. I think I can see Teske getting into foul trouble, and then we're in big trouble. And I think they'll shut him down with their size. So I didn't give a score there, but that's just my scoring margin. I think Michigan State wins by, 7-9. I think Louisville wins 10. Give me your thoughts real quick, Tyler, on a prediction you think for both games.
Well, I mean, I think you're right on with the Louisville thing. I think they're just too aggressive for Teske. And, well, Teske's the first inside. He typically, you know, does, not to say he doesn't do anything against quality opponents, but, you know, his dominant performances that people tend to drool over are against weaker competition. You know, he's obviously a shot blocker, and he redirects the sun more.
Well, he was great against Gonzaga. Gonzaga's big, though. Let's not totally knock Teske. That was a great performance against two big teams.
Right, right.
But I get what you're saying. I know what you mean in the past.
Yeah, and so those, well, they're bigger. Do they have those, you know, do they match the physicality of Louisville? No, they don't. And
no,
I think that I think you're right on with the Teske thing. I think it's going to be a little bit of an issue for him. I think he'll obviously cause problems of his own, but not enough to outweigh the bad, so to speak. I got Louisville winning 74-66 in this one. You know, I agreed with everything that you said in that aspect. Louisville, you know, just freak athletes, and so when Michigan decides to press, you know, are they going to get beat on it? Because you can press against Gonzaga, but you can't exactly press against Louisville and have the exact same results. In regard to the Michigan State Duke game, you know, I think it's going to go a lot into Vernon Carey, but and while the Breslin Center has, well, I feel like the atmosphere of the Izzone in the Breslin Center has kind of fallen off. For over the past, like, I don't know, I want to say like 7 to 10 years. I think that I feel that knowing how close Michigan State was to landing Vernon Carey, I think that you know, they're going to throw everything at him as far as the Izzone goes. You've seen them get in certain guys' heads, even the more experienced players at Wisconsin. I'm trying to remember exactly who it was. For Wisconsin,
I'd say Jordan Poole last year.
Just got completely rattled. Jordan Poole just had issues with Matt McQuaid. That's all that was. All 3 years he had issues with McQuaid. It wasn't exactly the Izzone in the Breslin Center. But they've had the ability to get in certain players' heads. I'm not saying that Vernon Carey is going to completely, you know, turn into a mental midget and fall apart, but Izzo can also throw Bingham at Carey just for height, even though he probably gets dominated physically. But then you throw Tillman at him, and then you throw Malik Hall at him, who can kind of spread him out a little bit. And, you know, Michigan State has a ton of options, even without Hauser. I feel like Duke's going to come out, and they're going to hit a couple three-pointers early. And that's going to be the ultimate test, is are we going to see Michigan State respond like we know that they can, like they did when Duke went up 30-21 last year in the Elite Eight game? Are we going to see Michigan State be able to respond if they're down, you know, 9-2 early or 11-6? Are they, and Duke has all the momentum going? And like I said, I think they do exhibit that toughness, though, because look, we've seen all of these guys, and while Goins and McQuaid added a lot in that aspect, you know, Tillman is tough, Henry is tough, Gabe Brown is surprisingly tough, Rocket Watts has his issues, but you know, he's a tough kid. Cassius Winston, obviously as tough as they come in the country, and I think so I think they're going to respond, and I think they end up winning this game. I'm gonna say 68-64. I think it's gonna be a tight game. I think you know, Duke gets off to the hot start, but I think Michigan State kind of settles in defensively, and you know, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. Cassius Winston pulls through in the clutch.
Yeah. Well, we got the prediction in. You know, me and Tyler both agree. We got Louisville winning, and we got Michigan State winning. So we're excited, man. ACC Big Ten Challenge. It's always a fun time at the early season of college basketball. Again, thanks for listening. Trouble with Snap Podcast. Give us your feedback, comment, like, share our page on Facebook. Again, Trouble with Snap Podcast. For Tyler Hayward, I'm Jay File. Thanks for listening. Big one tomorrow. Tune in 7:30, Michigan, on the road. tough test against number one Louisville, 7:30, and then followed by that will be Sparty versus Duke. Can't wait. Tune in. It'll be a lot of fun. We will break this down Wednesday. Hey, thanks again for listening. Again, this is Trouble with Snap Podcast.